Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Logan Shannon, in for Virginia Prescott. In the mid-19th century, few women worked outside of the home. Even fewer dedicated themselves to scientific study, and it was downright rare for women to be making groundbreaking discoveries at a major university. Yet, as early as the 1880s, Harvard College Observatory employed women as human computers to calculate and interpret observations made by men. As stellar photography advanced through the decades, so did these lady astronomers, who developed a system for classifying stars that is still used by astronomers today. And they discovered novae and created a record of celestial observations on 500,000 photographic plates, a glass universe. Yet the story of their contribution to astronomy is little known, just the kind of hidden history that Dava Sobel excels at. She's author of the best-selling books Longitude, Galileo's Daughter, and The Planets. Her most recent is The Glass Universe, How the Ladies of Harvard Observatory Took the Measure of the Stars. Virginia spoke with her about the book.
Dava Sobel, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hello, thanks for inviting me.
So I know you've known this story for a long time, but not written about it until now. Why not?
I was a little worried about how to approach the story. There are a lot of characters, and it's a long period of time. It was also irresistible, and I worried about how I would distinguish the women. But fortunately, when I got rolling with the research, I found that some of them had kept diaries, others had written letters, so that their personalities really did come through.
Well, in many ways, this begins with the work of Henry Draper, a gentleman scientist who died quite young in 1882, a pioneer in stellar photography. Now, what was that, and how did this become a launching point for the work done by the women at Harvard?
The old astronomy had really involved the positions of the stars. People used astronomy as an aid to navigation. But Draper, as an outsider, an amateur, could look at the exciting futuristic science of spectroscopy, which involved splitting the star's light into a colored and marked strip that he could read for the chemical composition of the stars. And he wanted to make photographs of the spectra. This was extremely difficult to do, but he arrived at a technique. He was married to a very wealthy woman who was willing to pay for the whole venture and also to be his partner in this work. She was his assistant. And just as they were ready to embark on a project, he was giving up his teaching. He was a doctor by training, but he was giving all of that up for a life in astronomy when he died suddenly. That left her devastated, and she was determined to see his dream realized, and so she agreed to give the money to the Harvard Observatory to get the work done.
And the Harvard Observatory at that time, headed by a man named Edward Pickering, he began hiring women who would come to be known as Pickering's harem, pejoratively. They were human computers, not yet called astronomers. What were they actually computing?
In the beginning, when Pickering took over the place, they were mostly computing the positions of stars, the orbits of comets. Astronomical observatories always had computers. It was a job description long before it was the name of a machine. And in many observatories, the computers were men. But it was unusual at Harvard that the wives, sisters, daughters of the astronomers did this work. And then women were hired from outside the observatory family. And once Pickering had Mrs. Draper's money to run this big project, he hired even more women.
Mrs. Draper, when she was writing to Pickering early on, and I'm not sure that she had the courage to carry on her husband's work by herself, revealing something about her comfort zone, but this is also at a time when women were thought to have delicate constitutions and slightly enfeebled minds, I guess I could say, that shouldn't overexert themselves. Was Pickering a visionary?
I think he was. And he was also a proponent of the higher education of women, which was very controversial at that time. There was an idea that college was bad for women, that it would interfere with their ability to have children. And he thought that was nonsense. And in addition to the women he hired, he also opened the opportunity for the graduates of women's colleges to make their own observations as volunteer observers wherever they lived, and to report all of that to him, to be collated with work done at Harvard and published.
And you point out that we're willing slaves to routine.
We're women. Astronomy is arduous, and it's not for everyone, but if it's your passion and you get a chance to do it, you're a happy person.
Well, there are so many fascinating and brilliant women that we learn about here, but I'd like you to narrow it down just a bit. I'm thinking of one of them I just found so fascinating. Is it Wilhelmina Fleming?
Yes, Wilhelmina Fleming. And her situation is so strange because she came to work at the observatory as a maid. She was originally from Scotland, where she'd been a teacher, but she married and emigrated with her husband. And then when she was pregnant, he disappeared from her life. And so she was desperate for a job. And Pickering hired her, but realized she was too smart to waste on the house. And he moved her over to the observatory and taught her how to do the computations that he needed, and also how to look at the photographs and interpret them.
Yeah, and she ended up classifying more than 10,000 stars using a scheme she devised, discovering 10 novae, more than 300 variable stars. And in 1899, when she was, I guess, in her 40s, Pickering urged her to become one of the first women to hold an official title at Harvard University.
He had to convince the university, but she became the first woman to have a university title. She was the curator of astronomical photographs.
Well, once these women's value was shown, their work was, they were diligent and they got to work. Were they paid as well as men?
No. No. And that
Trick
still happens
question.
Today, I might point out. Yes. But that was not a major concern for most of them. Mrs. Fleming did complain that she felt her salary was not as high as the men's, and she was right, even though she was given a tremendous amount of work and responsibility. But at the same time, she was honored to have such a position, to be associated with the observatory and with Pickering, who had really given her a great opportunity.
We're learning about some of the women astronomers who made invaluable contributions to what was then a fledgling field in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and really have forever changed our understanding of the stars. My guest is Dava Sobel. She uncovers this hidden history in her book, The Glass Universe, how the ladies of Harvard Observatory took the measure of the stars. There's been a lot of work on trying to expose women scientists, especially to expose girls or, you know, people of diverse backgrounds in the history of science. But people really didn't know about this story. Why not?
I think astronomers knew about it. I know they did. Partly they knew about it because the work done by the women is still relevant today. And I was eager to make them better known, tell their story, because it's such a happy story. Here they were at a time when most women didn't work outside the home, and yet they had this extraordinary situation. They were given great freedom for their creativity. They did the work. They made discoveries. They got full credit for everything they did. Some of them became members of foreign astronomical societies in addition to the American one. They got to travel and speak about their work, and sometimes they were the only women in a group of scientists talking about a particular topic. And their ability was recognized in their own time, so it's not a chip on the shoulder story.
They were recognized because my impression was outside of this country in a small circle. They basically stepped aside while the men who ruled science kind of basked in their glory.
I wouldn't say that. I think they really always got credit for what they did. They didn't make as much money, and sometimes they weren't free to pursue a line of research that might have appealed to them. But they were always given credit by name for what they did.
Mm. Their legacy, this glass universe, 500,000 glass plates created a catalog of stars still being used today. What has the work of the women at the Harvard Observatory seeded or allowed or that other scientists have built upon?
One thing was just the further education of women. The existence at the observatory of special fellowships for women meant that when the graduate astronomy education program was instituted, the only money available for graduate students was available only for women, so that Harvard's first PhD in astronomy was awarded to a woman, Cecilia Payne.
It really is such an amazing story, and of, you know, a couple of progressive men who saw the potential in these women, and of course Anna Draper, who helped fund this program. But we've heard these stories about, you know, the women at NASA, the women at Los Alamos, and other sites where the atomic bomb was developed. What, David, do you think it is about science that seemed to be more open for women to work in?
I think women have always been interested in science. They haven't always had easy access, but certain historical situations create an opening, and the ones lucky enough to be nearby can step in and seize that moment.
Virginia Prescott there speaking with Dava Sobel, author of The Glass Universe, How the Ladies of Harvard Observatory Took the Measure of the Stars.